Hello, animal lovers, and thank you again for joining us on another episode of Furthest from the Wild. I am your host, Alex Deo. Today I have a very special guest. Her name is Erica Fleury, and she is the program director of NAPSA, the North American Primate Sanctuary Alliance. Today we're going to be talking about monkey rodeos and some of the issues that are happening here in the U.S. If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and hit the notification button. We'd love to hear from you. Enjoy. Thank you, Erica, for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it. I know I had contacted you because I had seen that you guys had posted some things on your social media, so that what really interested me, and I figured, you know what, this would be a really good topic to bring on to the podcast. And so I wanted to, I'm glad you got back to me, because I think it's an important topic. Now, you are the program director of NAPSA. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you kind of came about to be the director.
Sure.
There.
Yeah. And thank you for having me, by the way. Sure. NAPSA stands for the North American Primate Sanctuary Alliance. And just so people know what NAPSA is, it's a coalition of right now 10 of the leading primate sanctuaries on the continent who care for over 820 rescued primates right now. The number keeps going up, so I always have to think about it. Yeah. I mean, the growth, the expansion is pretty astounding. Sure. And that's a good thing in a way. It means that primates are being retired from the pet trade, biomedical research, and entertainment in much greater numbers.
Right.
Of course, that then is putting more of a strain on the sanctuaries, which are all nonprofits. So sure. A lot of growth. And so NAPSA itself is based in Oakland, California. I am the only employee of NAPSA. And so I actually work from home in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I joined the Alliance in 2014. They were founded in 2010, so they were already around before I hopped on. But I was really excited to work with this group because I had previously written a book called Monkey Business about the history of non-human primates in this country. And so it was truly an honor and really sort of, I had to pinch myself a few times to get to work with these people who founded these sanctuaries and run these sanctuaries and just do such incredible work for primates.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So, yeah. And so NAPSA, you know, is considered a voice for the primate sanctuary community. Now, although not all primate sanctuaries are members of NAPSA, that may be due to, like, if they're not accredited or if it's, for whatever reason, they're not a member, we still work with a number of non-member sanctuaries to place primates in need and support them and do what's best for captive primates in this country. And as you know, the needs for captive primates are huge and ongoing. So
yes, definitely. Yeah, it's a huge pet trade out there, and people continue to purchase monkeys and primates just to have them as pets and then use them for the entertainment purposes, which is unfortunate. And one of the reasons why we're here to speak out of against all that. And I have noticed some changes, at least some entertainment in Hollywood and has now switched over to CGI and stuff like that. So it's not like how it was before necessarily, but I did notice that one of your posts that you were because we're talking about monkey rodeos, and I figured, this would be a really good topic to bring up, because not a lot of people have heard about this. Can you explain to people who've never heard about what monkey rodeos are?
Yeah. Monkey rodeos are a really strange subset of the use of primates in entertainment. Normally, when we talk about primates in entertainment, you might think of like chimpanzees or monkeys being used in movies or in the circus, right? Or, those types of situations. But monkey rodeos are a dwindling field of sort of a sideshow attraction. These are events that take place at either like minor league baseball games or fairs. And it's as crazy as it sounds. It consists of monkeys strapped to small dogs who then race around a track. And it's such a weird thing to exist. And when we talk about it, a lot of people don't know what monkey rodeos are, like you mentioned.
Right. Yeah.
And when you first say the name, they sort of chuckle because it sounds outlandish.
Funny. Yeah.
Exactly. And clownish. People think monkeys are cute. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
But when you actually explain what it is and how and why this would be frightening and harmful and all those bad things to the monkey involved and sure. even to the humans involved, right. There's no doubt that this is something that no longer needs to exist. And we have so many better forms of entertainment that are more compassionate and just more appropriate that can be observed instead of monkey rodeo. So NAPSA for a while now has been dedicated to ending monkey rodeos, and we're making good progress on that, but it's still a work in progress.
Still. So are there any laws against these practices currently here in the US right now?
Not federally, but there are some counties that have outlawed exotic animal shows. One that comes to mind is Alachua County in Florida.
Okay.
And a lot of that was due to a sanctuary that fought to get that in place. And that was Jungle Friends Primate Sanctuary. And they really felt, you know, strongly about this and spoke up about why this is a terrible thing. And
yeah.
And the county responded. And that's awesome. So we hope that those types of places set a precedent for more and more counties, municipalities to outlaw this. But in the meantime, you know, NAPSA usually leaves, we're happy to support legal changes and changing, you know, perceptions as much as possible. But sometimes there are larger groups that are more better handle, have a more of a platform
right.
to get those laws in place. Whereas right. NAPSA serves as the experts behind the scenes who can say, this is why this is harmful. This is why this shouldn't happen. And here's the side effects of it.
Right. Right.
So, So what NAPSA can do and what we do mm-hmm. is use our collective voice to explain why these are so terrible and to reach out to the sponsoring organizations like the fairs or the baseball teams who
yeah.
host these events.
Right.
Because when you explain it to them, it's not hard to understand why this is a silly, stupid, harmful thing that nobody would want to be affiliated with in most cases.
Right. Because there's so much behind it. And it's not just so much the entertainment purposes, but then there's the whole animal trade behind it, you know?
Yeah. And so here's the thing. So like there's three purveyors of monkey rodeos. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to call these. There's three men who have the monkeys and who put on the shows, right?
Okay.
There's one called Whiplash the Cowboy Monkey.
I have heard of that, yes.
Yeah, right. Then there's another one called Team Ghost Riders, which is run by a guy named Tim Leopard. They have three capuchins that ride dogs. And then there's one called the Banana Derby, which is owned by a guy named Philip Dolce, who also goes by Philip Hendricks.
Okay.
Literally all three of those gentlemen mm-hmm. have documented animal welfare violations through the USDA. This is not just my opinion.
Right.
This is not, this is not a guess.
Yeah.
These are things that are documented in the past. Those violations include things like failure to provide appropriate living spaces, failure to provide enrichment, which is a huge deal for the mental sure. health of monkeys.
Absolutely.
Failure to provide appropriate food, lack of proper permits, permitting public contact with the monkeys. Public contact is a big deal.
Yeah.
Reputable sanctuaries, you know, don't permit this because diseases can be transferred, bites can occur, scratches, injuries, that kind of thing. And it's frightening for the monkeys.
That's true.
There's just, you know, I could talk for five more hours about just the harms here.
No, that's great. And I've worked with animal sanctuaries like that, like primate sanctuary. I work with Jungle Friends as well, and it's true, you have to be very careful. And if you're going to be with one species, you can't visit a different species in that same day. You kind of have to keep your staff separate because cross-contamination, I mean, they're very close to us humans that we can, you know, pass on our germs. So you have to understand that it's very, very, it's different than just than having a walking a dog and, you know, kids petting it, it's a lot more, you know, it's a lot more dangerous. So, but
and
please,
you know,
yes, continue.
Yeah. Well, for the even conservation aspects of it,
yeah.
when there's scientific studies that, and I know you know this, but that show that when humans see primates doing human things, like wearing clothes, being
yeah.
handled, being pet, it makes them think that these animals are appropriate as pets.
Right.
And they're not.
Right.
And you know, sanctuaries are inundated with primates from entertainment and the pet trade who were not, you know, they were not well considered for those industries, and people bought them, or, you know, and then said, oh, wait a minute, I can't care for this animal, and then turn them over to the sanctuary. So it's an ongoing problem. And, right. and their use in entertainment is so important in that way, because it spreads completely misleading messages.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you have big corporations, same with, like, you know, the big amusement parks that are still have the animal shows and stuff like that, which people go and pay in tickets, and it's okay because it's families and they're taking their kids and they figure, you know, this is okay. But in reality, they're not really teaching us any type of conservation. They're just exploiting these animals here, you know, so.
Exactly. And I think some people might think it's not a big deal, you know, oh, I'm just going this one time. Well, right. they're not considering the lifetime of this animal that was bred for this purpose.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, for those handling opportunities, they can only use the young animal, yep. like a young tiger, a young monkey, because they get too aggressive and dangerous. And then what happens to that individual once they're no longer useful
yeah.
by the institution? I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, so sanctuaries can't be dumping grounds for those animals. And right. It's a really disturbing part of our culture that, luckily, we've seen some, we've made some progress in. So
yeah.
I think, you know, the monkey rodeos have been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
I know NAPSA really put a concerted effort into ending them starting in 2016. There was, that was the year that the National Animal Rights Conference took place in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And there was a meeting held with NAPSA, with PETA, with some other animal welfare and animal rights groups to talk about monkey rodeos and say, what can we do?
Yeah.
So since then, NAPSA has partnered with some of those individuals and those groups to, you know, work smarter, not just harder,
sure.
but to really do what we could to reach the teams and the fairs hosting these monkey rodeos. Because
yeah.
And the successes and victories that we've had show that the outreach does work.
Right.
It's not over yet, but every year since then, we've chipped away at this. And now, like, we just looked at 2021 at what's scheduled for monkey rodeos. And granted, sometimes we don't always hear of them before they take place.
Sure.
I think a lot of times they're not advertised because they know people can protest and, you know, raises think about it. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So really, sometimes we don't hear about it right away.
Right. The last thing they want is people picketing outside the ball game right before it starts. So,
and it's happened. It's happened. Yeah. I mean, if you look up, like, I know the Frederick Keys in Maryland, that was one that had, there were quite a few protests, and eventually that team, you know, it took them a while. They weren't backing down. And then I think it was, let's see, I have to look at my list here, but after a few years, they said, here, 2019, they said they weren't going to host monkey rodeos anymore.
Good.
So the outreach works.
That's good. And then you mentioned it before, there's only a few individuals, right? There's
only a few.
There's a lot more of us, you know, a lot more of us voices. So if we combine our voices together and put it out there, you know, these guys can just, you know, they can disappear.
Their shows are archaic and they're out of date. And quite simply, you know, I don't think there's a place in modern culture for these types of shows right. anymore.
Go ahead. Sorry. So for the person who's listening to this, I'm like, well, I don't understand, Erica. You know, the monkey's on top of the dog. What's the harm?
Okay, so the harm begins when they're born. Monkeys raised born into the entertainment world are taken from their mothers years before they would naturally separate.
Yes.
That's in order to facilitate the handling of the baby and the further procreation of the mother. So, you know, the breeders, this is what they do. This is how they make their money. The training and housing of these animals in entertainment is stressful, often right. harmful, often abusive. You know, monkeys, as they age, just like humans,
sure.
can get rebellious, and they're inquisitive and smart, and their needs are not met in these types of living situations, which often, by the way, don't even give them social opportunities with other monkeys.
Right. And I can imagine the traveling being very, you know, yeah. stressful.
Completely. Yeah. Not to mention the shows that they're in.
Right.
You know, these are in loud stadiums or fairs with lots of noise, stimulation, people. Oftentimes there's, you know, petting and photos, and
yeah.
that's truly, I mean, you know, the owners would say that the monkeys like it, they don't mind it, but they don't have a choice. They're forced into this. And I think over time, they probably are numb to it.
Yeah. But they have no choice. I mean, and what people, yeah. A lot of people don't see the, when this first happens, when they first start training them, is they got to break them down in order for mm-hmm. them to start doing all these tricks. So they,
well, exactly.
Yeah. And it just same goes with like an elephant at a circus or, you know, these elephants that all of a sudden are just not going to get up on two legs because they want to please you. You got to break them down, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And, you know, over years and years, these monkeys, just like monkeys in the pet trade, they develop, you know, reactions and effects to that lack of socialization, lack right. of expressing their natural behaviors. And they suffer. They can be depressed. They can self-harm.
Yes, they can.
A lot of the animal violations that I've seen with these monkey rodeo purveyors involves, you know, lack of appropriate living space and mm-hmm. food, really the basics of survival.
Absolutely.
Here. And, you know, it's just sad to think of these monkeys living a whole entire lifetime.
Yeah.
In this way.
Right.
For financial gain. That's the only reason. Nobody's yeah. benefiting from this except the owners.
Well, yeah, obviously, like you said, it's all financial gain. And, and like I've said in other podcasts before, it's the animal trade is it's very lucrative with very minimal risks because the laws are so, you know, they're barely even there. And if they, you know, what, and if you do get fined, you'll get, you know, you get caught, you get fined a few $1,000 here and there, which makes it worth it because I still made this much money on the back end, you know,
exactly,
of this trade. Exactly. So it's kind of like, honestly, you know, it's just a regular expense.
Exactly.
You know?
It's a risk worth taking in their mind, right?
Absolutely.
But, you know, something that I always like to point out to the baseball teams or fairs hosting mm-hmm. these events who pride themselves, I think, on being very family friendly. And that's sure. why they have this monkey rodeo is that we always say bites from monkeys are not an if, but a when. Like,
yeah.
Monkeys cannot be domesticated.
No.
They are wild animals. And to see, I've seen photos of these monkey rodeos of, the monkeys from the rodeo, yeah. you know, posing with children before or after the event. And it's a miracle that nobody has had a public injury. I'm sure there have been bites. I'm sure there have been scratches, grabs, that kind of thing. But you don't hear about it a whole lot. And that's probably on purpose.
Yeah. Keep it quiet. But no, you're absolutely right. I witnessed it myself. And you know, I was filming a guy who owned two capuchin monkeys for 27 years. You know, these were his last of his monkeys that he had. He had, you know, tons of them before. And I guess the laws were changing in Illinois. You couldn't take him to the vet anymore. So he finally, you know, he decided, let's take him to the sanctuary, which was with, you know, Jungle Friends that I worked with at that time. And one thing I did notice is they obviously when they're not in their environment, you can tell that they're depressed. They're mutilating themselves. They remove their hair. As soon as we took them to the sanctuary, I went back a year later. They didn't look like the same monkeys anymore. I mean, they flourished. They
Isn't
had
that amazing?
Full hair. I mean, it was like they were living in paradise. Completely different yeah. attitude. And it's true. And even the owner of 27 years, as we were transferring, got bit. Because they just
wow
yeah it's just you never know. This is somebody who's had him for 27 years right on camera. It's like almost right, it was right on cue, and wow. the monkey just grabbed him and just snapped him right on the wrist right here and just broke the skin.
Oof.
Yeah. So it can happen to even somebody who's taking care of them since they were babies.
Completely. And I think a lot of monkey owners, primate owners say, oh, it'll never happen to me. It won't be me.
No.
You know, those people who you hear the stories in the news, it won't be me. And inevitably, it always happens.
Yeah.
We hear about it with chimps. We hear about it with monkeys. And, you know, it just proves the point that these animals are suffering. And that's why they're acting out in that way. They're scared. They're feeling threatened, whatever it may be at that time.
Right.
But, you know, you can see it's really cool to hear you say that about how the monkeys looked after just a short mm-hmm. time in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
We always, you know, we say that sanctuary life is the closest thing to the wild, which is funny because the name of this podcast is
right.
the furthest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's, you know, they can't go back to the wild.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was the whole purpose of the name.
Yeah. Yeah. These animals have never been in the wild. So they need specialized care. And that's what accredited reputable sanctuaries can do. And what they also give these animals for often the first time of in their lives is choice. Right. So I think that's partly why they thrive so much, is because if they don't want to go out in the grass, they don't have to go out in the grass. Right. They can go on the caging. You know, sometimes for primates in captivity, that's unfortunately what is most comfortable to them, is the man-made materials, because that's what they've known their whole lives. So, but they have that choice. They have the choice to socialize or not, eat or not, drink or not. And it's nothing's forced on them.
Right.
They're certainly no longer, you know, forced to perform or engage with anyone they don't want to engage with.
Yeah.
So, you know, to see monkey rodeos still exist in 2021, they just seem like they're from the 1800s or something, don't they? Like, this seems like a circus sideshow that should have gone away.
I agree.
Years and years.
I mean, and same goes for regular rodeos. I just feel that that's still such a barbaric sport that, you know, if you want to call it a sport, just,
well,
you know,
some of them host monkey rodeos. And so I think those are some of the hardest folks to reach, because, you know, appealing to compassion and animal welfare isn't always their priority.
No, absolutely not. They're there to see, you know, those animals perform with their humans, and then the hog tying and all that stuff. I can't imagine that being, you know, not hurting that animal or any of those that they're, you know, running around and hog tying and stuff like that. It just seems so cruel. And for the fairs to still, you know, to entertain these type of businesses to come out. Like you said, it seems like such an old thing to do that still, you know, exists that shouldn't, you know. I was researching and looking online before our you know, this week about this, and I did notice that it seems to be like minor league baseball teams that are hosting these types of events.
That's what it's been historically now, and the fairs, of course.
And the fairs,
what's interesting, you know, so in 2020, because of COVID, I think there may have been like one rodeo somewhere and maybe one other. There really weren't monkey rodeos in the numbers that we were seeing in 2019 and before.
Okay.
In 2021, so far as we can tell, you know, knock on wood, no sports teams are hosting rodeos that we have found so far. It's only fairs.
Only fairs.
And then what's cool, you know, another cool notice was that the fairs tend to be where the Banana Derby is held. That's Philip Dolce / Philip Hendricks, who does these fair sideshows. Mm. So it looks like only Banana Derby events are taking place in 2021.
Okay.
I haven't found anything for Team Ghost Riders or Whiplash the Cowboy Monkey. Again, doesn't mean they're not going to happen.
Sure.
They could be at some rodeo somewhere that we haven't found yet. But the numbers are vastly down from in the past.
That's good.
And we did see a lead up to that. So when we saw how many minor league baseball teams, and there's some other leagues like the Northwoods League, you know, when we saw that there were monkey rodeos going on there, we did a lot of coordinated outreach to those teams, their, you know, their owners, that kind of thing.
Right.
In 2016, the minor league baseball president and CEO released a statement, and I want to read it to you.
Good.
His name is Pat O'Connor. So he said in August 2016, minor league baseball neither supports nor encourages the practice of using animal acts of any kind, especially animal acts for which the Humane Society has expressed serious concerns, to entertain our great fans. So the Humane Society of the United States was one of the organizations that joined NAPSA and PETA to produce a document
with
a lot of quotes from experts. Yeah.
Good.
So that was really cool. The thing was, Mr. O'Connor couldn't prohibit he had no control over the specific entertainment shows scheduled at each of the teams, but he could sort of pressure them to make different choices.
Sure.
So since then, you know, some more teams sort of dropped off with the rodeos. And then in 2018, he recommitted to that statement. And he said at that time that teams would not host them going forward in minor league baseball. As far as I can tell, that is true.
Good.
So we're hoping that that's accurate. And then even the other leagues, like the Northwoods League, and I think there was one other league, I'm trying to find the name here, but I don't even see those teams having monkey rodeos. So maybe we broke through at least on the baseball front and we can just focus on the fairs right now.
On the fairs right now. Good. Well, that's good. Well, for those people who are going out to the fairs this summer and with their families, make sure you keep walking. You don't need to watch those. You know, you don't need to pay for all that. Just remember you're watching it's animal cruelty show. Just keep that in mind. It's an animal cruelty show. You don't need to watch it. Go buy yourself some popcorn and go play some carnival games and make it a fun day with your family. So, yeah, that's one thing.
You can do it without this.
Yeah, you can do it without that. I mean, I always tell people that. I'm like, we can live and coexist with animals, but, you know, we can do it in a responsible way. You know, we don't need to be exploiting them. I always tell people, like, make sure when you're out on vacation and you see some of these little roadside zoos or little places like that, come take a picture with a tiger or a monkey or an alligator or this and that. You know, just keep passing by because it's animal abuse. Just keep that in mind. These guys are just doing animal trading. They're profiting. They're exploiting these animals and there's nothing good about it. There's no conservation whatsoever behind these organizations. And like you said it before, the good reputable sanctuaries will not exploit these primates or monkeys in this case. And they will flourish and they will, you know, try to keep them in a sanctuary closest to their original habitat. Obviously, like you said, they can't be released back into the wild. That's one question that I always get, you know. So after you rescue them and if the people have rescued them, well, why can't we just go out and put them into the wild? Well, I mean, it's like you've never been living in a cave for the rest of your life, never taught how to read and write. And how are you going to go out and live in the real world? You're going to need someone's help for the rest of your life until you learn those skills. And unfortunately, after 20 something years or 10, 15 years, you can't really teach that sort of, you know, tricks to an animal like this and have them expect them to, you know, thrive out in the wild. So, and then especially with monkeys.
These animals have never been they've never been in the wild. They don't know. It'd be no different than you going to try to live in the jungle.
Sure.
You know, I don't think it would go well. And you know, the sanctuaries see that the primates that come from the pet trade and from entertainment are the hardest to acclimate to sanctuary life. Not to say it can't be done.
Right.
And certainly not to say sanctuary life isn't good for them, but they're humanized to the point where they don't know how to be whatever species they are.
Right.
So if it's a capuchin monkey, you know, if we take a monkey from a monkey rodeo and put him right into a group of capuchins at a sanctuary, he or she will not do well. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to socialize. You know, they could get ganged up on and could really suffer. So sanctuaries have to be very careful with how they handle those types of animals coming from those industries for that reason, because they don't know how to be a monkey.
Right. No, it's true. Yeah. And unfortunately, like you said, and I mean, some of them that do end up getting rescued have to live alone, you know, just because, like you said, they can't be put in with somebody with another monkey because they just won't do well. You know,
it's so challenging. And they, you know, they have very long lifespans.
They do.
Very complex needs. And to think that these people are breeding them and throwing them into this life, and then they could have decades more of life in a sanctuary or wherever they end up. Hopefully they end up in a sanctuary, but it's just the scope of the suffering for the, truly there's no need for this to be happening. It's sort of really mind boggling.
Now, do you think these guys that are doing these rodeos, are they going out to these animal auctions and purchasing these monkeys and repurposing them, or is it just more cost effective to just train one and just keep it?
Seems like they train one. I know, like, one of them has three monkeys, but it does not seem that they have a rotating population. I think they get one, train him or her, and basically keep that monkey. All of the, you know, the three vendors or purveyors and their monkeys are all aging, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so I don't see signs that they are going to have a round two or, you know, train a replacement. I don't see that happening. And the hope is that, you know, as these people retire and their monkeys retire, they won't be replaced. Certainly, I don't think there's going to be a financial incentive. I just don't think it's financially rewarding enough career to keep going at this point. As we're seeing teams and fairs canceling monkey rodeos, I don't think there's a place for them in the future.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Same with, like, you know, the magicians in Vegas that used animals, and that's kind of, you don't really see that anymore.
We're getting to a better place with all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good thing, and people are opening their eyes and realizing that the exploitation of animals and entertainment is not such a good thing. You know, most of the time they're just being abused and or being rotated in a matter of, for example, like with the big cats. You know, if you want to use them for photo ops, every 6 months, gotta get a new one.
Exactly. And you know, there's one of the we've had some media coverage on the topic, and I think it was in 2017. There was a story, NBC New York investigated monkey rodeos at the Brookhaven Fair in New York. And they interviewed not only Philip Dolce, who runs the Banana Derby, but they interviewed some of the people who were just standing there watching. And it was really interesting to see how many of them felt deep down that this was wrong and they were uncomfortable with it. And they said, it doesn't feel good, you know, and it's good. I'm glad people are opening their eyes to that. And And admitting that, you know, we can do better now. And we, in most cases, we do better.
Right.
So that felt good to see that. And then, you know, so that fair 2017 was having the Banana Derby. And then in 2019, they committed to no longer having monkey rodeos. Good. So that was a good one.
That's very good. That's good.
Yeah, it works. Speaking That's awesome. Of works. And so, yeah, I mean, people who care about this and want to help, truly what's helpful is if you contact the places where these events take place. So, you know, you can look at NAPSA on our social media on Facebook. It's Primate Sanctuaries, I think it is. And you can see what we're posting about, and we will promote, you know, the need when we're writing to someone, you can join us and you can click on the link and see our letter.
Right.
And join us in contacting them and asking for better entertainment choices that are more compassionate.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, do you think once I know there's talks in the Primate Public Safety Act going in. Have you heard anything about that? Do you think that maybe if that passes, that this could possibly help maybe reduce the number of people purchasing primates and monkeys out, you know, in the black market?
Yeah, the Captive Primate Safety Act. Yeah, I do think so. I think anytime there's legal progress, even if it's state by, like right now, there is no federal law prohibiting primate ownership. We hope that there will be. But in the meantime, every time another state prohibits it, it's a win, because it's just setting that much more of a precedent. And honestly, it makes it harder then for the breeders to provide these monkeys to the pet trade. Right. We definitely see hot spots where primate ownership is more legal. I'm talking like North Carolina, Florida. That's where a lot of the requests for primate placement and sanctuaries come from.
Yeah, it seems to be.
Yeah, it's a direct link. And it's like, you know, the sanctuaries are inundated. There's too many primates who need placement in sanctuaries.
Way too many.
These are the problem areas. It's because of the laws. So we need to change the laws.
Yeah.
And I think every time, you know, a primate attack takes place, whether it's most recently there was a chimpanzee in Oregon, that pretty serious attack against the family of his owner. That proves why this is so important.
Yeah. Because
these types of situations are going to keep happening as long as primates are able to be owned.
Right. Exactly. And that's like why
property.
Some of
they're not property.
They're not. Exactly. And that's why some of these laws need to be, you know, need to change so that these, you know, these people can stop purchasing some of these animals. And you notice a lot of it, you know, even like going on social media and TikTok, you see a lot of people posting stuff like that on there about owning their you know, their little monkey here, or their exotic animal. So it's something that it is obviously a problem, you know, and a lot of the times that people don't realize is that they you know, like you said, you can't keep them for a long time because they sometimes become very aggressive, and where they end up, they you know, you got to get rid of them. Like you said, the sanctuaries are they're full. They don't have any more space, and they're nonprofits, so they're not, you know, all the money is just, it's from you and I that are giving them giving them money to keep, you know, running because we love what they do. But that's something definitely, yeah. The next time you think about you wanting to purchase a monkey on one of those websites online, maybe think twice, because you're committing yourself to over 30 years with that animal.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And most people can't. It can be even longer.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. We've got chimpanzees in their 60s in NAPSA sanctuaries.
Yeah, like, definitely.
It's impossible to care for these animals properly in a human home. It truly is. I have no qualms in saying that.
Right.
And it's just so, social media has some real great, good things about it. But one of the bad things that we're seeing lately is how easily these videos can be spread spread really misleading messages.
Misleading messages.
And, right. You can see in the comments, everyone's saying, I want one. I want one. And, mm-hmm. And a lot of people send those videos to NAPSA thinking we can do something about it. But number one, most groups can't, because they're originating from states where private ownership is legal.
Sure.
And so, there have been a small amount of times that I've seen states investigate when it seems to be coming from a state where it is illegal. And that's great. And we need more of that. But, just the nature of social media, there's just so much out there. And it's so easy to send out the wrong message to everyone. So we need the Instagrams and Twitters and Facebooks to try to curtail those types of videos.
Right. Exactly.
Not to mention the ones that are trying to sell animals. I mean, those are even worse.
And
a lot of times they're scams too.
Right. Yeah. And then, exactly. Flush out all those accounts of, people posting stuff, all the photo ops and stuff like that, especially when they're out and different countries posting with tigers that are sedated and all that, which is it makes me very mad when I see that stuff online. But it's just we need to educate them and tell them, like, really, you're doing more harm by visiting these places. You don't realize, I'm like, did you know that tiger is actually sedated? He's literally drugged 24 hours a day. And sometimes they're like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't notice that it was kind of like wonky and a little sleepy. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, no tiger's gonna let you take a picture with them, trust me. I'm like, let's go. We can go right now to a reputable sanctuary. We can go try. I can guarantee you won't get 2 feet in front of it, because you would probably won't even let you.
Well, yeah, and NAPSA has documents. Like you mentioned, education, and that is completely the solution here.
Yeah,
until the laws change. So NAPSA has a page on our website for advocacy.
Good.
And so if you go to primatesanctuaries.org and click on advocacy, you'll see we have a number of position statements and educational resources on these topics. And one of them that I'm constantly referring people to is the one that differentiates what we call pseudo sanctuaries from true sanctuaries.
Right.
So it has some bullet points. Like, if you see these things, this is an exploitive place.
Yeah.
If you see photo ops, if you see public contact,
ambassadors.
And so that helps people. Yeah. Exactly.
Ambassadors.
Removing animals for any reason other than medical. A lot of the things that we see online from some of these repeat offenders are very easy to identify when you know what to look for.
Right.
And so many people just don't know. It's not that they don't care. They don't know. So that's why we're so focused on education, because it doesn't take much to understand the reasons why the use of primates in entertainment and the pet trade is so harmful.
Yeah.
When you get it, you get it.
Yeah. You know what? And it also makes it even more difficult when some of the accredited zoos are actually doing what we're talking about. And so now these people are going to these places. I'm like, well, now they're accredited and they're doing photo ops with these, these exotic animals. So I'm confused. What's education? What's this place that says it's accredited and it's telling me this is okay, but then this other one's telling me that it's not? So it's kind of, I think there's a lot of misleading information.
There absolutely is. And I think the best thing that people can do in that case is to put themselves in the point of view of the animal and say, what would I want if I were this tiger or this serval or this whatever, what would I want?
I want to be paraded around all day and be touched by a bunch of humans? And especially like with cats get stressed very easily. I think about twice about going on vacation and taking my cat 45 minutes down to my parents' place to keep him for a week, because he gets stressed. So I can't imagine a bigger
cat. If he was on a stage, and imagine if he didn't have that life that he has with you, and was constantly stressed or constantly being trained or whatever it was. It's no life that anyone deserves.
No.
Much less these animals. What really, really kills me is that these animals are all bred like on purpose. They didn't, you know, we didn't pluck them from the wild. No. They're here.
Oh, yeah.
Because humans wanted them to be here and they wanted to use them for some purpose.
Yeah.
And that's just.
They're bred for a profit.
Yep. We need to improve things a lot in our society before this can be better.
Right. So I think a perfect example that you guys have been dealing with a big move recently, right? With trying to locate a bunch of chimpanzees to a different sanctuary. And I can assume that's gotta be a huge, huge project.
Humongous. Yeah. So what you're talking about is the Chimpanzees in Need emergency rescue fundraiser. And you can see that on NAPSA's page as well, or you can go to chimpsinneed.org. What we're responding to is the 2019 sudden closure of a non-NAPSA member wildlife refuge outside of Los Angeles called Wildlife Way Station.
Yeah.
And at the time that they shut because they quite simply were not able to continue caring for their large population of animals, they had over 480 animals living there.
Wow.
And that's exotic species, domestic, you know, everything from horses to chimpanzees to tigers.
Yeah.
So the California Department of Fish and Wildlife had to step in immediately to ensure the ongoing care of these animals and to start facilitating placement. NAPSA got involved because though the state did fantastic at getting so many of these animals out quickly, I mean, it's really a miracle. But there were, at the time that they closed, there were 42 chimpanzees at the way station.
Wow.
And chimpanzee sanctuaries in this country were at capacity. There's no better way to put it. Even the zoos were at capacity.
I bet.
And there was physically nowhere for these chimps to go. And I think the state didn't understand that right away because they don't know. This isn't what they normally deal with.
Sure.
And when NAPSA explained that to them and explained what would be needed and what is needed is for the sanctuaries that are accredited and reputable to expand physically and build new enclosures for these animals.
Right.
So we stepped in to lead the fundraising effort. Again, this was not a NAPSA member sanctuary that collapsed, but we were the ones who could help. So many of our member sanctuaries are the ones taking these chimpanzees. We've since rehomed 15 of them successfully.
Wow, that's great.
And there's one passed away of natural causes. There's 26 there right now. And what's really awesome is that their caregivers from the way station who had been with them for decades are still there, still caring for these chimps day to day. So they're doing okay right now. But the reason why they can't stay there is because there's a few. Number one, that the organization is shutting down and cannot continue.
Right.
But also because the area is very prone to wildfires and doesn't even have a sufficient water source. So all water has to be trucked in.
Yeah.
It is no place for animals to be living like that. So we have sanctuaries that are building to welcome those chimps and we're raising the funds. And it's an incredible amount of money, to be honest. It's millions and millions of dollars.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, chimpanzees are very expensive to care for appropriately.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And we have to make sure that they go to places that will meet their needs and for their lifetimes and not, we can't have another place shutting down, you know, because they got overwhelmed. So, so it's been really challenging, but there's an awesome group of organizations and foundations and sanctuaries working on behalf of these chimps. So, we've had some real successes lately. Just last month, it was World Chimpanzee Day on July 14th, and NAPSA is a founder of that day. So that's a proud day for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but on that day, we released a short film from director Sean Munson, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara, all about the way station chimps and the need. And so we're so grateful to have their involvement.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that we can reach more people. Because sort of like Monkey Rodeos, when you explain the situation and the need, everyone gets it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh gosh, they can't stay there. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and just like monkeys bred for entertainment, these chimps are here because of us. And I've said all along, like, they're there because of us. They were mostly from laboratory research. A few are from entertainment.
Right.
Some are from more than one industry because they floated around. And they're here because of us. And now they're stuck because of us. And we need to get them out. It's very simple.
Yeah.
And it's at the same time, it's terrifying because the scope of it is so big. And NAPSA's never done anything like this. But we've got great support. So we're plugging along and getting them out. And I think you know, we're looking forward to the next group of seven chimps to leave this fall.
Seven chimps. Wow. Yeah.
Seven going to Center for Great Apes in Florida, which is a fantastic NAPSA member sanctuary.
Yeah.
And then just in June, we saw six leave to go to Chimpanzee Sanctuary Northwest in Washington.
Okay.
Another gorgeous place.
Yeah.
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 And they had already taken three.
Oh, that's great.
Previously. So they have nine waystation chimps now. So
that's awesome.
They're growing fast.
I've been out to the Center for Great Apes before. It's place is amazing. It is.
It's magical. It's
like Jurassic Park. It's you walk in there and it's just like, wow. Yeah. It's a great place. Yeah. They're going to go to a very wonderful place. So
I know. And that's the only sanctuary that cares for orangutans too. Yes. There is no other orangutan sanctuary in this country.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just cool for that reason too. Cause when do you get to see these gorgeous creatures anywhere else? You
know,
it's other than a zoo. It's just very different, a very different type of setting.
Right. Yeah. So Patty Reagan has done an amazing job out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then we're going to have more chimps going to Chimp Haven. That's a NAPSA member sanctuary in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And so we're thinking maybe early 2022, they'll get 11 chimps. And so we're just, you know, we just have to keep going because they can't stay where they are. They've got to go somewhere. And we're so grateful that these trusted sanctuaries can help out.
That's great. Yeah. And I know the place perfectly. I mean, that was kind of the whole place that kind of started this whole Further From the Wild venture of mine. And I went to go volunteer there. And that's those chimps were the ones that kind of impacted me. And I saw them there. I had never seen chimps in captivity. Not like that.
Yeah.
Zoos are different. You know, they're, but not in that sense, especially in that place. And that kind of impacted me a lot. And so it's definitely a very interesting story. I want to keep following it and see how, you know, what happens to all those chimps. I know it's a huge, huge project. And, you know, like you said, it takes time and millions of dollars because these cages are not cheap and they take time to build. And, you know, you need land. We need land.
We also, and the sanctuaries have the physical, like the land, but they didn't have the enclosures built. And that's incredibly expensive and it takes time. And this all is happening during COVID, which completely threw a wrench into the fundraiser, as well as the speed of construction. But then even, you know what else is expensive in all this is the transport of the chimps.
Yeah.
Because California is very far from all the other sanctuaries.
It's a big trip.
And also we are raising money to ensure that they have enough, that their current care expenses are covered while they're waiting to move.
Right.
So far, California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the weigh station itself have been able to cover the care expenses of the chimps. And that includes everything from like their food and enrichment to water, to caregiver salaries, to security, all of it. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So thankfully they've been able to cover that so far, but we're always worried about that funding drying up. If the state budget changes, if something happens, we need to, that's one reason why we need to move these chimps as quickly as possible because they're not in a stable home right now.
Absolutely. No, you're right.
Yeah.
And I says since I could remember every other year they're being evacuated just because of the fires that are going on there. And, you know, it's about 30, 45 minutes away from where I live. And, you know, I used to live around that area too, and I would get evacuated as well. So there's constantly being fires there because it's almost on a hill and some kind of dirt road. And it's kind of remote from the side of the freeway, but close enough still from the city, but still just, you know, getting, you know, the people out there to go and put out the fires is kind of, it's really hard because of the roads, but
it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Luckily the state has really ramped up the evacuation prep procedures. And so now that there's fewer chimps, they have all the materials they need. They've been practicing, you know, knock on wood, they're not going to need it, but it's still, it's less frightening than years past for sure.
Right.
But at the same time, we got to get those chimps out because they can't stay.
Definitely.
So, we've got a lot to focus on, but monkey rodeos will still be a priority for sure. Because
definitely,
in my mind, that's an easy victory. It's something we should be able to end soon.
Yeah, and like you mentioned before, there's only a few culprits out there that are doing it. So if we put them out of business, then I don't see a new business, you know, starting up soon with this. It just doesn't seem, like you said, lucrative or even, you know, that feels like something that's been passed on from generation or from families. It's just not like, you know, some random person nowadays or 20, 30 or 40 year old is going to all of a sudden think, hey, I'm going to start a, you know, monkey rodeos. So I think it's, yeah, it's kind of an old school mentality that's kind of dying out. So
it is, it's a dying industry.
Yeah. I think it's just, let's put these, you know, these few people out of business, you know, like you mentioned, as soon as, if anybody finds out or any, you know, those people that go out to some of these, you know, minor ball games or these fairs, you know, call the organizations and, you know, place your concern. I'm sure if we get enough people out there, they'll stop. You know, it'll hurt that big organization more by having less people show up, you know, than just having that, you know, monkey rodeo and then having them pay what? I can't imagine them paying them if you more than a few thousand dollars for the day. It's like, you know, do you want the bad publicity or do you want, you know, a few of your guests entertained?
Yeah. So. Well, and anytime it's in the media, we're so grateful because it helps us reach that many more people and spread the right message. Yeah. So that's why I'm so glad you have us and I'm, you know, today, and I'm glad that we were able to have some, you know, newspaper articles in the past and videos and that kind of thing. Cause it just shows that this truly is a dying industry and it's logical that we need to let it go.
Yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
It's day has passed, right? Yeah. And these monkeys deserve so much better. Now that we know more about primate welfare,
yeah,
we need to give them that.
And absolutely.
Ensure that for those animals.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Well, thank you, Erica, so much for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it. It's been a very interesting talk. I would definitely like to bring you on after everything is all done with your other big project. I know you've probably been working on that 24 hours a day.
I very much look forward to the day that is tied up with a bow. But yeah, I'd be happy to come back anytime.
And yeah, we'd love to talk about how everything went and in the future of NAPSA, what other future projects you guys will be working on so that we can continue, educating our public.
I'd love to. Thank you for having me. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.